Hello, Smart Community friends. It's our podcast birthday week. The Smart Community podcast has turned 3 years old. So to celebrate, we're doing a week of bonus episodes, bringing together multiple guest answers over multiple days to the question, where to next for smart cities and communities? And this one, which is our last one for this week, I'm going to share with you the answers from a range of our guests from this past year. Leanne Kemp from episode 155, Andrew Mears from episode 195, Adam Davis from episode 197, and Julia Spicer from episode 152. Some of the themes that come through in the guest answers are around the challenges and opportunities for smart community thinking and initiatives in regional areas and local initiatives. As you know, I'm very passionate about the regions, and I think we must have them in the conversation. We must include them in the smart community space. We have to work together both within regions and across regions to create enabled, informed, and engaged communities. When we bring new skill sets into the community to help bridge skills gaps, we need to make sure that we are also upskilling the locals so initiatives can be sustainable over the long term. Some of the guests make important points about the need for better connectivity and the pivotal role of local government in regional areas. And of course, all guests agree on the power of the people in regional areas and the importance of engaged communities. Once again, we are reminded that a smart approach is not about the tech, but about the humans at the center. This is only amplified in our regional areas. As Julia Spicer says, it's really important that we remind people who live here 365 days a year why it is that they live here. We're not trees, we could move, and it's important that we sign on to the vision of what our communities want to be. Leanne Kemp talks about social commitments changing and India building wealth in smart cities, including circular economy, and the transformation to intelligent communities. Andrew Mears talks about distributed services bringing a new level of collaboration and community being the source of new innovation models and ensuring this happens in an equitable manner. And also that council are a key enabler in this space. And we talk a little bit about the work that Newcastle is doing. Adam Davis talks about delivering real smart city initiatives and projects. He also talks about regional development and different patterns forming, and also that we have to keep an agile mindset. And finally, Julia Spicer talks about the circular economy being an opportunity for new industries, particularly within her region, and the work that Corio is doing with their community. So shout out to Ashley Morris, who was on the podcast in episode 55. This is the last episode in our podcast birthday week, so thanks so much for celebrating with us. As always, we hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
Welcome to the smart community, smart regions, smart towns, and smart cities. It's where we live, work, and play. With smart communities, the future starts today. Big data, smart mobility, emerging trends galore. The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.
Where to next for smart cities and communities?
Look, that's a great question because I think cities, whether they're smart or not and enabled with technology, largely I think that there's a surgence of a voice and the way that we socially commit to contracts with each other in communities and with governments is changing. And in some respects, some cities in the world know that they cannot fix what they've already created and built because there's just way too much legacy that exists in parts of these cities that are unfortunately not able to be easily transformed. And so one prime example of that is the bravery and the commitment that India has, fully knowing its population is exploding and that likely its economic baseline will be one of the largest provisioners of global wealth leading into the future. It's likely to be one of the superpowers. I'm thinking about what 2050 or 2060 looks like. It could be as powerful as, you know, the United States or China. But they also understand that cities that are currently existing mightn't be able to be transformed in such a way. Maybe they start with a blank canvas. So In Andhra Pradesh is a prime example of that. It's a regional rural city in India where Modi's government has committed to building the city based on the smart and economic and circular economy principles, and they're doing a cracking job at ensuring intelligent communities exist as a part of the human system of cities, and that's really an exciting thing to see. So I think where's to next for cities and communities? It's very clear that transformation is well underway, and all cities and communities have got to learn to bear and understand the transformation, risk transformation that occurs so rapidly across the world now, and where do they show up and play a deliberate role in that risk transformation?
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. And I think looking at those global examples, particularly, you know, regional areas, is really, really important. And that rapid change, you know, we need to keep up.
Absolutely. Hit the nail on the head with that.
Where to next for smart communities?
I think the thing about these distributed services is that they provide an opportunity for a new level of collaboration. So I think never before has the interaction between, well, never before, that's a bit too much maybe. I think the opportunity here is that community can be the source of new and innovative service models which take advantage of these new technologies and new opportunities. And I think that will be key to ensure that this all happens equitably. You know, without enabled and informed and engaged communities, we risk losing the opportunity for this distributed value to land equitably throughout our society. So the smart communities and smart, empowered, equitable communities driving a sustainable future, there's shared value, you know, will be key.
Mm. Yeah, I really like that. And I think bringing it back to equity is so important, and we do that a lot on the show. And yeah, no, it's really interesting. And I think one of the things I talk about a lot is, you know, this engagement with the community, but it's not just on, I guess, council, local government services, but it's all these services that we rely on, but now we can actually have a part in, which is exciting, like you were talking about, this engaged community and how we can actually interact with the grid and take ownership of our energy consumption, but also, you know, producing energy, et cetera, et cetera. There's so many things. And yeah, I think it'll be a really, I'm going to say, interesting time moving forward.
No, absolutely. And like councils are key enablers of change in this space. You know, they, you know, at a very practical, basic level, you know, their values are aligned with the sharing of benefits in the community. They typically own a lot of distributed assets, which are spread throughout the community. They're engaged across the different value streams in people's lives in terms of how people access services and, you know, how they and their transportation requirements and these other sorts of things. So in terms of enabling this type of distributed energy system, they're really pivotal. And, you know, certainly my experience here in Newcastle, for example, you know, where the city of Newcastle was our first big customer for Switched In, and I guess, you know, they recognised early the opportunities to demonstrate and, you know, model the value that comes from improving access to renewable services and enabling the opportunities around distributed energy resources. So, absolutely.
Yeah, totally. And I'm just thinking, I interviewed Nathaniel Badminton from Newcastle earlier this month or last month or whatever. And I just love hearing about what's happening in Newcastle and, yeah, excited to hear that you're also working with them and that they've seen the opportunity, because I think that's a big thing. You need to have an active, engaged council as well in looking for these new opportunities and also appreciating how overwhelmed they get and that we all get with so many things available, but actually having that mindset and strategy to move forward and how they're going to manage their energy into the future is actually quite I guess, progressive of councils. Progressive maybe isn't the word, but just it's not as straightforward because it's not a function that a council normally has to think about too much. They are users of energy, but yeah, shifting that model requires a whole shift of culture, of governance, of policy, of all these things. So yeah, really interesting time and some of the work I've been doing at the moment in that space. So yeah, no, really exciting.
It's great.
Where to next for Smart Communities?
Where to next? For me, I sort of see this as an exciting time. I think where to next is actually undertaking real smart city initiatives is where we're at. Seen a number of industry bodies being formed to help enable these types of initiatives and projects. I think it's fantastic. I think we will see further regional development. I think we will see really interesting projects come out of heavily populized metro areas now as we shift to a more decentralized model where, you know, a lot of people are going to be working from home. We're going to see different patterns form around transportation and people movement potentially. So what does that mean for cities and regions? So I think it's probably a really exciting time. The next 3 to 5 years will be really interesting to see where we go. And as we see these projects getting set up for connectivity across the country and across the world with more subsea cables, interconnected cities, there's no real boundaries on what we can achieve now. You know, those issues have slowly started to disappear and we can enable a lot of these projects that we've been talking about for some time. So, yeah, I think the next 3 years will be a lot of fun, to be honest.
No, I'm really looking forward to it as well because I think we'll see a lot of shifts, a lot of changes, and also just, I guess, an understanding or a realization that when we do need to move quickly, we can. And, you know, that doesn't mean we're not being considered in our approach or anything like that. It's just that we can move quickly. So if it's really important that we do, that we can. And I think that will look so different to what we've had to do, but that knowledge will be there. And then we'll be able to go, oh, that was possible. Okay, maybe we can do that again in a different circumstance.
Yeah, a lot more agile mindset, I think, is something that we're going to have to implement. And we've seen it work, right? Not without repercussions, of course, but, you know, there's got to be a happy medium there, I think. You're right, you know, where we've had in the past long burn cycles on a lot of these things, we can actually shift to a much speedier outcome if required and pushed.
Where to next for smart cities and communities?
I am pretty excited about where this circular economy space can go in terms of new industries and diversified industries for regional areas. So we're really lucky as a community at Gundawindi, and I think because as a community we say yes to opportunities that come our way, even if we're not 100% sure what will come from that yet. But as a result of saying yes to a few things recently, we've got the opportunity to work with a business, a Brisbane-based business called Corio, and they sit solely in that circular economy space, and they're going to be working with our community over the next few months to look at what are some projects that would absolutely result in jobs and new industries for this region. So to look at that across regional Australia, I'm pretty excited to see what comes from some of that.
Mm. Yeah, actually was on the podcast.
So we're very, you know, we're very excited to look at that. And I think that's an example of, you know, we're a community that knows what we do want to do and that's not a skill set that we have in town or in the region. So we are really excited to bring that in and see how we can all learn from that.
I love that. Sorry, just to pick up on that, it's something Chad and I were talking about, which is I think it was Chad and maybe Colin Kinner as well, that, you know, when you do bring in those skill sets, that it's so important to then transfer some of that knowledge, which I know that they'll do. You know, you can't share absolutely everything that you've ever learnt in your whole life, but bringing the community along that journey so then we can all learn together, which is that informed piece as well. And then I guess like what I like about, and I actually have no idea about the project, but what I like about is talking from a community perspective, it's for the community. That's why it's happening. And so I really love that.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And that's the thing. It is not, there's no way that they're coming in and saying, here's the three things we think you should do. there's a whole lot of work around, you know, what's already happening, what are the organisations or the businesses that are already doing work in this space. They just didn't know that it was this new trendy term called circular economy. That's pretty exciting. And I think the other piece for me that I think in terms of where to next will be around how communities can really use the emphasis that there is on tourism at the moment and rural and regional tourism to really actually do some work around what it is that they are proud of in their community. I think, you know, we often think about how we promote our towns and regions to people that are travelling through for one or two nights. But I think the other piece of that is really important that we actually remind people who live here 365 days a year why it is that they live here. We are not trees. We could move. I live in this community for a few really specific reasons. And if those reasons disappeared, I would think about whether this is still the community for me. And I think it's really important from a tourism and this whole piece of work around, you know, place-based understanding that we continue to, you know, almost sign on to the vision of what our communities want to be. What does that, you know, coming full circle back to our initial conversation around volunteering and being part of something bigger than ourselves, I think, you know, we need to look at how we continue to do that, because that will be a big chunk of the future of our communities, particularly our smaller ones.
The Smart Community Podcast is brought to you by My Smart Community. If you're trying to deal with disruption, not sure what technologies to buy, need to facilitate genuine collaboration, then we can help. Email hello@mysmart.community or head to www.mysmart.community/consulting.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart Community Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes are available on our website, mysmart.community/podcast. If you have any questions for us or any of our guests, you can email hello@mysmart.community. You can also find us on the socials. We are on LinkedIn and Twitter @smartcomhq. That's com with two M's. If you are enjoying the podcast, please hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. And we would love for you to leave us a rating and review at wherever you listen. This really helps us reach more ears and eyes, so thank you for your support. As always, we hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.